Podcasts are having a breakdown. Bravo Breakdowns. These girls are going insane now. Bravo Breakdown.
All right, good morning, students. Good Christmas morrow, students.
Ew. Don't do that.
I'm Ebenezer Lauren Davis. And
she did community theater, folks.
God rest ye merry, students.
Okay.
And that's Michelle the Grinch Baber. And this is our very special Best of the Berkshires holiday episode of Bravo Breakdowns. We've got a very special guest. You guys have heard him before. You know him. You love him. A lot of them said on our TikTok that he needs a TV show. Please welcome Roni Stan Josh.
Very festive indeed. Thank you for joining us today, Josh.
Of course. I want you to know that I am a reindeer, but I'm not just any reindeer. I am a Radziwill reindeer.
Oh my God, fingerless gloves. Oh my God.
Oh, I love it.
Does a Radziwill reindeer know how to order eggs three ways?
Absolutely not.
I love it. Yeah.
Does it secretly chain smoke? And just like pretends it's part of the reindeer costume?
Of course. Of course. I always think about the pink cigarettes also that she smoked with Aviva.
That's my God.
It's so European.
I missed it.
That's why she had asthma. Mm. You saw the x-rays of her lungs.
I did.
So we're gathered here today to honor a very special place in the minds and hearts of Roni viewers. And that is the Berkshires or Berkshires. Which one do you guys say?
I say Berkshires. Mm-hmm. Because I think that's what Dorinda calls it. And that's what Heather would call it, too. And she had a house there with no air conditioning.
Yeah, I also have a friend in real life who is from there, which was a shocking revelation very recently. She has no idea about this world and how culturally important it is.
Wow.
Now I've introduced her to the concept of Dorinda, and she's learning.
She had no
idea that it was so important culturally, but she says Berkshires. I think Bethany just does her own thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So Berkshires it is. Wow. A Berkshires native. So excited.
Oh my God.
Has she ever been to the hallowed ground where Ramona faked her panic attack because it reminded her of her childhood?
I doubt that, but she said she has been to the Red Lion Inn, which is important.
Oh my God.
I need to go there because her family still lives there. I'm like, I need to just go for a weekend and see.
Yes. I want to go see all the sites. I want to see Rinda is a site. That restaurant is a sight. That's it.
Yeah. Perhaps the most famous monuments are the two we both spoke of, both the Red Lion Inn, which is where Dorinda used to work as a teenager in the Berkshires. And then we had Red Lion Inn bartenders and staff in season 12, Roni visit Bluestone Manor. And then we visited Red Lion Inn on Ultimate Girls Trip. And then, of course, Bluestone Manor is number one.
Number one on the call sheet.
Number one on the call sheets. I feel like it's the most famous house in pop culture besides the Overlook Hotel.
Well, I mean, in all of pop culture, I think a lot of people would probably disagree with that.
Well, no, but like what name another house, like what other than like a medieval horror, Overlook Hotel, Bluestone Manor. Those are the three houses. Gryffindor.
Yeah. Okay. Well, wherever the Jeffersons went to, that I guess that's a penthouse.
Yeah, I guess. Well, okay. Not counting president's houses. Those are the three.
Yeah, because I was like Monticello. That's a thing. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. In our world, it's the most famous. Thoughts on this, Josh? Name another famous house.
I don't know, but when you said the Jeffersons, my mind did not go to the president.
I meant the Jeffersons, the TV show. I don't know why Lauren
said. Yeah, the East Side Apartment in the Sky is the name of the Jeffersons' house, of course.
Yeah, it was not presidential.
Okay, well, still, my point still stands where it's like all famous spooky houses, like they have to have a name.
Yeah.
And that's what's so interesting about the evolution of Bluestone Manor. It's like it became during Dorinda Medley's seasons, like it started off as just like, oh, a cheap place for us to do a second trip on Real Housewives of New York. But then slowly it evolved into realizing that this was actually a haunted house of horrors on
but
top of
being... But it's a Christmas miracle.
A Christmas miracle. So it really has those dueling themes. Mm-hmm. What do you guys see it more as? Do you see it more as a spooky place of trauma and ghosts? Or do you see it more as like a warm Christmas country house?
Neither. It really feels like when you're going to visit your family at the holidays, just like in terms of like, you're a little bit crazy, you drink too much, and mom gets a little mad sometimes when she's been working all day and you don't appreciate
it. She made it nice.
But it's like, this is what like Christmas is. This is what the holidays is. Like when these episodes, like when old Ronin was still happening and they were still going to the Berkshires, that was like, that's part of my Christmas, like, is watching these episodes, you know? It's like up there with watching like Frosty the Snowman or whatever. I've never seen it. My daughter hasn't either. She's only ever seen Dorinda. Yeah, this is her Christmas.
Is there a Frosty stop motion movie?
I think so. Yeah, he melts.
Yeah, because I was like, there's not much story there.
I don't know if it's a stop motion, but I don't care.
Okay, so you're saying for you, Berkshires, it's more like it encompasses like a dysfunctional family Christmas where like there's love, there's partying, there's drunkenness.
Pills, there's fish.
Uh-huh. And there's also like horrible blowout fights.
Yeah, there's Republicans. Yeah, that's my Christmas.
What about you, Josh? What does the Berkshires mean to you?
I always see it as a more of a Christmas thing. So that's why I was surprised when Dorinda was opening the doors for $500 about 2 months ago at this point. It was for Christmas. It was for Halloween.
Yeah, for Halloween.
I don't view it as a Halloween event. I view it as a Christmas event. And I would have paid the $500 to go for Christmas. So Dorinda, if you want to make that a thing,
yes, I want to go there so badly for Christmas. You have no idea.
It would be special. But $500 for Halloween is hefty. I don't get that fully.
I don't get it.
Unless there's that Bethany screaming statue, then maybe but otherwise, I don't know.
That looks like Bethany crying.
Okay, so let's get into some of the actual decor and like setup of the Berkshires house. So so we've got different opinions from people on the franchise. At first, it's like it stands in stark contrast to Heather's Berkshires house, which is shitty. And everyone's like really impressed with the decoration and like how nice it looks and how ritzy it is. And again, we have this dichotomy of like it's part like beautiful Tudor style English manor. Mm-hmm. But then inside there's also some like scary gothic dungeon. Yeah. And like tacky purple couches.
Questionable artwork. Overall, Christmas trees with flowers, like roses.
Overall, would you put the Berkshires, like, you know, design, architecture, and home decor into your naughty or nice list? And then we'll get more specific from there.
I would put it in my nice list. I like tacky.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. I'm not even saying that it's tacky. Like, you know, I like it. I want a fish on my walls.
I fully agree, especially in the current era of celebrity homes. It stands out in a positive way.
And I don't care about your beige walls.
It has character. It's not like a, you know, farmhouse, Trump era, modern farmhouse.
And it also wouldn't make sense for Dorinda to have a home that was like blank walls. Like, and it's just, I think the decor and like, especially at the holidays, like it adds to the, like the feverish and trauma.
Yeah.
But in a good way, because there's lights. Mm-hmm. Christmas lights.
All right, let's get more into the nitty gritty of the design details. Okay, so it can be in your made it nice list or your naughty pine list. All right, so where would you put the 7 themed bedrooms?
Am I ranking them?
Made it nice or made it naughty?
My God. Okay. I would put them in make it naughty, but I like that.
Yeah.
Like
naughty
I
in a good way.
Yeah, like naughty in a good way because it stirs up crazy in the girls, like the fish room.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What about you, Josh?
I don't even think it's naughty in a good way. I'm all the way in. If somebody doesn't have the bedrooms when I'm visiting them now, I'm disappointed and it's all Dorinda's fault.
Yeah, I love the idea of themed bedroom. Okay, so then...
Yeah.
Made It Nice or Naughty Pine, the horrifying row of green porcelain monsters on the fireplace mantle.
Are those monsters?
They look, I can't tell what they are. They're kind of like faceless and they've got like weird blob bodies.
I thought they were just
necks.
Like, I knew they were statues. I think they're like real jade, aren't they?
They look, I mean, they probably, they look real.
I'll put them in the nice list because they're probably worth a lot of money and probably Richard brought them to her when he was a balloon or something.
I agree. Nice list for me. I support it.
Okay. Naughty list. They creep me out. All right. The iron medieval castle sconces and low-hanging medieval Game of Thrones chandelier. Naughty or nice list?
I don't even know if I remember that chandelier. I mean, I guess I can see it.
It's in, like, the dining room. It's, like, very low.
I mean, I'll put it in the nice list.
Me too.
I like all of it. I really, like, I don't think I would put anything in the naughty list because it's given me so much.
Okay, well, this is the last, then we'll just skip to the last one. Bethany's appropriative chillin' with my gnomies sweatshirt that she wears in the Berkshires.
Okay, that goes in the naughty list.
Yeah.
That goes in the naughty list.
Naughty list.
Yeah.
Okay, so we can really learn a lot
chilling
about
chilling with my gnomies.
Chilling with my gnomies. And then the fact that we spend so much time on it during the episode.
Right.
And even, like, Bethany is like, this fucking dumbass Ramona probably doesn't know what
she
it means.
Even
fucking
get the
dumbass.
Joke.
Yeah.
She's such a fucking dumbass.
Jeez, Louise.
She's such a fucking racist.
So, yeah, so we, I feel like you can really, like, when I was rewatching these episodes, I was like, wow, you can really learn a lot about, like, if you just watch the Berkshires episodes, you get a really good idea of what's happening overall in the show itself during the golden years of Roni, like,
right.
7 through 12.
Yeah.
So let's kind of go through all of our Berkshires trips. So our prologue, BM, before Bluestone Manor. We have Heather's Berkshire's house in the summer that we visit, which is kind of just a setup for all of the important Bluestone Manor stuff that will happen before.
Right.
And while this gave us like some Alzheimer moments.
Like learning that there's not central air in her home.
Yes. And Sonia and Ramona ordering
they have to
the air conditioning.
They had to pretend to be blue collar.
Yeah.
And install an air conditioning unit.
Yeah. The throwing the glass, the Ramona breakdown. It's like still, it's all coming from our main cast, you know? It's like
Look,
Heather's not really giving any
of it.
These girls
do not belong in the Berkshires in the summer. They belong in the Hamptons in the summer and the Berkshires in the winter.
Exactly. Yeah, Berkshires in the summer was just a little too camp.
We can't do it.
Camp out of water.
Get these girls back to the Hamptons. Exactly.
Yeah. So then that brings us to season 7, which is our first Bluestone Manor and our first intro to Dorinda, these ladies are so much more at home there. And it shows that Dorinda is just so much a better fit for
She's
the
She's a good hostess.
Yes.
For these type of people.
Yeah. And so, our first time there is like Dorinda's birthday party and like everyone's very impressed.
We need to talk about this. This is important, and I want to get Josh's thoughts on it. Okay. I thought it was so strong. Like, what a strong introduction to Bluestone Manor. The fact that everyone's wearing ball gowns to eat sushi at someone's dining table.
And such disparate outfits. Like, Heather has, like, a broom skirt with a hoop.
And then
like Luann is like the Wild West, like some kind of Miss Kitty saloon maiden.
Yeah, with the gloves and the cigarette holder. Yeah.
Ramona is like full on a date with
her
business partner.
She's like in a negligee. She's in a negligee. Yeah. Everyone's dressed like really nice, like fancy, but like very different events. None of it screams sushi in a dining room to me.
No, not at all. I just love Heather in this trip because she's like so clearly trying to make it like a her thing also. Like And she's like,
"Yeah, I have a house here too."
With the most, nothing to do with
Bethany. Do you want a meatball?
But of course, yeah, it's important because it brings us that moment.
Yeah,
exactly. And I think that really it's the apex, which shows where we're going from here. Which is like, Dorinda is solid for the next like 5 seasons. Bethany, even though she comes in late and like she still takes over the scene
and
is in charge.
She's wearing pants.
Just shows up for like her hour and still runs shit. Heather is obviously, I think this is the moment where Heather realizes there's no place for me on the cast.
I can't say holla.
Yeah. And that's really why she cries, not because Bethany won't eat a meatball.
Yeah. Well, it's
also just so Bethany that she is like, I just don't want all the attention
on
me.
I don't want the attention. And she's no one would
have cared. It wouldn't have even been shown if she just took a meatball, but she just had to
just eat the meatball, Bethany. Yeah. Yeah. She's like crying. Yeah. Or had she even told Dorinda, I'm going to be showing up, she would have known what was for dinner and she could have talked about her allergy. No, it was just another excuse for Bethany to let us know about her fish allergy.
Yeah. I think it was the first time that we really got it clarified that it's no shellfish are okay.
And I can be around it completely. No,
we really need to get like a professional allergist on the show to like clear this up for us, because Michelle and I have some big questions. But plot wise, thank you for this, Bethany.
Yeah, thank you, Bethany.
And it also shows like Kristen.
But we need to talk about this setting. Okay, so this is wintertime. We need to talk about it's all of it's just so Christmas to me, right? It's like, it's literally this huge manor on a hill. There's snow everywhere. Like, everyone's, like, in cozy clothes. And everyone's getting wasted all of the time in this house because they're so cold. They have to drink lots of liquor to stay warm. You know? That's Christmas. That's why Christ was born.
It's the ideal holiday vibe. But yeah. One last thing for me on this scene. I was surprised when rewatching it that we get the moment in Carol's confessional where she says that Bethany has two speeds, either wound tighter than a top or crying. And that is just such good foreshadowing to eventually when Bethany's inability to stop crying makes them unable to resolve their conflict.
Yeah, I love it. Always with the Carol advocacy, Josh.
Yeah, but always with the Carol advocacy. And we do need that perspective. And you know, now years later, looking back, we should have all been Team Carol from the beginning because...
And to bring it back to my point, we see where Carol is, where it's like, oh, even though she's not a main player,
she's a Christmas Carol,
she still works on the show as a narrator, even with Bethany back, since Bethany is like now like playing fucking hard. Like she's less of like the relatable one, like, mm-hmm. and more of like the instigator. And then Kristen like barely talks the whole dinner. And then Sonia and Bethany are going to be buddied up for like a lot of the rest of the time. And they are making fun of everyone else at the dinner. So it's like where we all are for the next like five seasons.
But this dinner is like it does kind of remind me in an extreme way, kind of like a big family holiday dinner. But there's also like completely different conversations happening and levels of intoxication based off of where you're sitting at the table. Like Bethany and Sonia are getting wasted because Bethany's refusing to eat anything, but she doesn't want all the attention. But we'll crash the party. We'll get intoxicated. We'll start sobbing. Don't you dare bring a meatball to my face.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sonia's like, I'm just going to get drunk. And I think Ramona's still trying to pretend to be classy for a minute. And, you know, Heather's like that person, like, let me just give you a hug and feed you. And Bethany's like the, like, angsty teen. Get away from me. You don't understand me. I don't want to eat your fucking meatballs. Yeah.
Yep. Bethany, she ends her. Yeah. It's a head-to-head. And only one will be victorious. And it's
Can you imagine, wearing a ball gown and asking someone, like, do you want a meatball? Can I give you a hug? And some bitch in a pantsuit is like, get the fuck out of my face. And that's your first introduction to them, kind of. And it's the first time they're in this home, you know?
Do you guys think there was anything Heather could have done?
No. Well,
No.
I think Heather, because of who she is, she can't be a housewife that's not, we've seen this, like, she can't come back and just be, like, the fun friend of, she has to be the control freak, she has to be the center of everything, she's so type A, and so she and Bethany, like immediately after meeting, it's like, nope, only one of us can be on the show, you know?
Yeah.
We find out in the Berkshires.
Yeah, it's gonna be Beth, it's gonna be B.
What about you? What do you think, Josh?
No.
What could she have said?
I don't think there was anything. I think her and Kristen, I think, were both sabotaged by even being included in this season because they stood no chance.
Do you think if Heather had, instead of offering Bethany a meatball, had offered her skinny girl ham, do you think that?
That could have been the olive branch.
Skinny girl ham.
Maybe. I don't know if Dorinda's house would carry that, though.
Yeah, I don't know if they sell that in the Berkshires. Let us know if they carry that there.
Yeah, does the Berkshires have, like, a little grocery store, like the Fire Islands grocery store that, like, everyone goes to? I guess they always go to that, like, European cheese store a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, do they have skinny girl cheese there?
I'll have to ask my expert. I'll get back to you.
All right, let's move on to season 8, where Bluestone Manor, this is where it really comes into its own as like a scary trauma haunted house.
Because what happens when Ramona brings her special guest, her dog that poops everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that? That's like as soon as you walk in, or as soon as Ramona walks in with her dog. She's like, oh, it's so beautiful here. Like, there's Christmas trees in every room. There's little nutcrackers. It's like the perfect mix of like beautiful holiday decor and just like tacky. And it's just like mixed everywhere in this really elegant home. And then it's like Ramona being like, oh, and her dog taking a shit and her doing nothing about it, pretending yeah. it didn't even happen. And it continues to happen.
A harbinger.
A harbinger of shit to come.
Even the name, it's like, we know it's going to be crazy because it's called December Berkshires County. So it's like, okay, this is going to be like a Sam Shepard play. And it is. It really is. And we even get the Bethany talking head. Bethany really like sums it up. She's like, Dorinda should not get into the hospitality business. Let's just put it that way. Because whatever evil spell she puts over her events, I walk right into it. Mm-hmm. So if we actually like really have a label on this place is extremely cursed and Dorinda is part of the curse.
Right. Do we want to talk about like the cast that's on this trip?
Yeah. So, again, we kind of get a reflection of the season. Sonia isn't even invited because yeah. Sonia is getting the alcoholic.
She's getting the alcoholic edit, which is a real hard edit to get on this, especially this season.
It rotates, you know, in Roni, and we know that Sonia's getting it this season.
She's getting the alcoholic edit, yeah.
We've got Jules, who can barely get a word in edgewise the whole trip or season.
Mm-hmm.
We have Luann and Bethany going really head-to-head.
And hair-to-hair.
And hair-to-hair, yes. And then we have Dorinda, where everyone is really deferring to Dorinda. Like, they really,
she's
her role
like
is really hostess.
She's really like, this is your mom. Like, you know, mm-hmm. this is her home. You're here for the holidays. Like, she puts stuff in your room. Like, you know where your room is. Yeah.
And kind of she's expected to be the voice of reason where like Luann's like, why didn't you step in and defend me, mom? And yeah. Luann's like, what?
And the kids are fighting. Do you get those vibes, Josh? Like that it's like Dorinda's kind of like the matriarch and everyone else is like her children for the weekend.
I do, but I don't feel bad for her because I think she wants it that way.
Oh, yes. She always wants to be coming from a place of authority.
Yes. Yeah. And then she'll always find, like, if she has someone who she feels like will play kind of daughter to her.
Right.
You know, then she'll always take them under her wing.
Mm-hmm.
But then if they're, like, a bad daughter who doesn't appreciate her, like Tinsley, she will punish them.
Right. Right. Yeah.
And she that's what Luann gets in
yeah,
this.
Yeah, she plays favorites with her children.
Yes. So then season 9, we get like we start with like a kind of a festivus, you know, for the rest of us, an airing of the grievances to Luann about Tom, which of course like completely does not work. Like Luann's just not hearing it. And then we pivot to the main conflict of the season. We have Ramona and Bethany finally go head to head in like an all-timer fight.
Right, because Bethany did softcore porn and Ramona just needed to know if she had talked to her young child about that.
Yes, yes.
This is what I have to talk about.
Yeah, and even though like Bethany and Dorinda had been...
What a crazy thing to say. Like, none of what I said is false. That is why they're fighting at Dorinda's
yes.
home. This is also the season, I think, where they almost set the house on fire. Is it this season when they're trying to... Carol and Luann are trying to start a fire and they don't
yes.
open up the flue.
The flue, yeah.
Yeah, and so like there's smoke billowing out
yeah.
of the living room. Yeah. Oh, these girls. I love these girls. Mm-hmm. They miss them so much. Right. But, you know, again, like it's like a home for the holidays because it's like your mom's asking you, like, why are you posting slutty pictures on Instagram? You know, Ramona's just asking Bethany why, you know, if she's talked about softcore porn with her child. Yeah. And you need to have those conversations with your kids.
You do. What I love about that scene where they're fighting with each other, and this is like so mean, and I don't like to speak on women's appearances, but they both look crazy in that scene. And you just have to think about like, I don't know. Worse housewives would have made sure they were dolled up and ready to go for that moment. And mm-hmm. they just looked crazy and they did what they needed to do.
Well, there's a lot of emotions going on here, right? Because the fight between Ramona and Bethany is, you know, whatever bullshit they have. But it's really also all of the women are very emotional about Tom and that Luann is still wanting to marry him. And she's getting married, I think, like in a couple of weeks after this. And then Bethany, she does, you know, scream at Ramona, does her famous spreading her legs about mentioning it all, and then cries in a corner to Luann that she doesn't think Tom is a good guy.
But isn't it interesting that, like, speaking of, like, the holiday
Christmas
themes.
Trees everywhere. Like, we need a Hallmark movie for, like, that's based off of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Hallmark movies don't have enough drunk conflict, is what I think.
Where is it?
Really, like, this fight is born out of, like, the holiday impulse to, like, make things right. Because Ramona, if you remember,
make
this started
nice.
Ramona doing a wine breath apology tour where she's like apologizing to Sonia, to Bethany.
Her sweater is very low cut. Her boobs are out. Her new boobs are out. She's like, I just want to know if you talk to your daughter, you're on a waterbed making out with another woman.
Yeah, like
you're not a real businesswoman.
You don't support other women.
You don't support other women. You don't understand anything about women in business, and you're making out with another girl.
It's just so difficult that Ramona's very accurate point about Bethany not being a girl's girl gets watered down in all of the other horrible things that
it's
she was
true.
Ramona's
it's
been
true.
Saying it for years. When she walked with Bethany on the Brooklyn Bridge and told her, you don't have any friends. Maybe you have Jason, but I'm sure you'll fuck that up too. She was right.
And just like a true holiday, Bethany brings this up and rehashes it. She's still mad about it. All these seasons later, a cardinal housewife sin to be holding on to this. But it's really why she's still mad at Ramona, because Ramona had her number and continues to still be right about that.
But guess who has lots of friends? Ramona does. Look at her birthday party every year. She's got a million friends.
She has 30 to 50 friends.
Best friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which brings us to season 10, perhaps the most controversial Berkshires season, because we did have a bulk of an episode and a second episode wasted on, unfortunately, a murder mystery dinner party, which that's always tough for us as Housewives fans, the flappers, the wigs, the, you know, like, on another one.
I know, but it is funny to see, you know, Bethany in her full costume, like, getting mad at Carol.
Yeah, I mean, it always does make fights better to be in costume, and I would argue, like, the Berkshires, of all places, is the best for a 1920s murder mystery.
Yeah, it almost doesn't look like they're in costume.
Yeah. And because our girls are such pros, Dorinda's like, yeah, I did it, and just ends the dinner
early. Yeah, can we just, like, end it? Like, let Luann smoke this cigarette she's been holding for the past hour. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then I would say, I do think, and the Berkshires being, like, where the season really comes to fruition, I do think this is where the toothpaste came out of the tube fully on the Bethany-Carol friendship, where Carol said, like, during their fight, she was like, Luann, Bethany calls you a loser. And then there was no going back.
Right.
I think that was when it was truly over. What do you think, Josh?
I agree. When I watched this season initially, I didn't know if they resolved their things. Mm-hmm. I had no idea what was coming. And I was hoping before this that it was just like a little thing that would blow over. And then I agreed. This is the moment that I was like, oh, wait, they're not resolving this.
Things mm-hmm. will never be the same. And maybe it was because, like, the Bluestone Manor really haunted their friendship after this.
Yeah.
It's where they were closest for a while, that we have so many moments over the years of Carol. It was just Carol and Bethany against the whole house at the Berkshires, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, even that, it was season 8 where Bethany's, it was the famous hair, like, you're copying mm-hmm. me, and you know how big of a whore Luann is,
and they're just laughing.
Everybody,
they're
and
laughing
Carol,
hysterically in the bedroom. Yeah. They're like, "Oh my god, my hair does look like hers."
Yeah,
and like,
you know. And then Carol's like, "Ah, Luann can't spell pedophile," and they, like, try to leave without saying goodbye to everyone. And you know,
and
they're
that's
just like
what makes
two
it so
girls.
Sad because they're like, such a special place for them as a duo, and then
Yeah.
Right. But yeah, it's probably better this way, especially now, you know, imagine Carol being in that Four Seasons hotel room with Bethany and her fish, her shellfish.
Yeah.
She says shellfish.
Also, sorry, I don't want to get, we've been doing such a good job staying on track, but did you see that Andy and Carol apparently made up?
Okay. Yes, he messaged us.
That was the best news I've gotten all year. I'm so thrilled.
A Christmas miracle.
It's a Christmas carol.
Truly. And Andy. Well, because I don't know if you guys were, I don't know, this happened like a year ago. There was like a blind item somewhere that made it sound like Carol and Bethany were friends again. And I was like, no, please
There's
don't ever
not
do
a
this.
Chance.
It was not true. But that was like, that happened. And I was hoping at the time, I was like, no, please, if Carol's going to resolve it with anybody, let it be Andy, not Bethany. And it came true. I even found a Bravo wish list that I made at the end of 2022. And it had on it that Carol and Andy would resolve things. And so I feel like I put this into the universe and it finally came to fruition. I'm so thrilled. And also, I don't mean to be like a conspiracy theorist, but do we really think that this would have came out in People the weekend of Bravo Fan Fest if there weren't some kind of implications for Carol and Bravo?
It has to be something happening. I mean, not to veer too far off course here, but the new Roni, sometimes I wonder, should we still require the new girls to be going to Dorinda's at Christmas time?
Word.
And what would happen with the dynamics if they only had a Bluestone Manor? That was like the thing that helped those later seasons.
I mean, honestly, why didn't they, for the Roni reboot, why don't they go to Bluestone Manor? You're just going to do a new show with new people at Bluestone Manor. And like, that's going to, you know, with a bunch of like random 20-year-olds who are all going to sue Dorinda for like emotional trauma.
Right.
Bring in the Roni girls where they won't sue. They want to be famous.
Right.
Like that makes way more sense.
Yes.
Make them work like a bed and breakfast.
Yes.
That'll get them on their side.
We need, they don't have these. There was something about Bluestone Manor that was so special because it really did, like, I mean, some of the most amazing scenes and episodes are from these seasons when they were at Bluestone. But it also, like, it did really interesting things with the dynamic and the relationship. And that it was, like, also as just a viewer, and probably maybe as cast too, it's like, we know we're going to go here year after year and we're going to see like the evolution of like Dorinda as a host and like with the fisher, like all of these other, like it really was like, it was like a character on the show. Right.
It was.
So like when they had the new Roni, it wasn't just like, we don't have these cast members anymore. Like we lost Bluestone Manor. And that was, that's a big loss because no other franchise really has that, you know?
No.
Like, it was really grounding.
My fear is that they're trying to make Erin's Hampton's house the new place that they go every year, but that will never be Bluestone Manor, no matter how hard they try, no matter how much construction she does.
And I'm so glad to say I barely know who that person is. I do recognize the name.
You're lucky.
And I think she voted for Trump.
She donated to Stop the Steal.
Oh, my God. Okay.
You know what?
We will only forgive that when it's someone who has dog his shit in Bluestone Manor. It's the only time.
Yeah. And Carol shows up and she's like, is anyone going to say hi to me? And there's dog shit on the floor.
Oh, yes. To tie it in full circle, this is the season where Bethany got Carol the Not My President sweater for Christmas as a peace offering. All right. So season 11, this is kind of a wild Berkshire season because they tried something different. They're like, all right, let's do a Berkshire's Halloween. And then it's also Dorinda was trying new things in the decor. She created the fish room, which, of course, gave us, you know, some epic scenes and hilarity. We also got a lot of, you know, drunken, sloppy Berkshire's iPhone footage from this season. Sonia absolutely trashed the Morgan letters. Luann
right,
sober and
This is a season where they're not just, it's not just like they're trapped in the house. They actually go on a field trip and it's not good. It's not good for Sonia's
mental health.
It's
better to be trapped. Yeah.
It's better to be trapped in the home with the fish and with, you know, Bethany than allowing Sonia to go on. We shouldn't allow Sonia to be going to museums.
Yeah, no. But we can see kind of like the wheels are coming off a little, and Dorinda is becoming more of like the here's Johnny type instigator, where it's like, oh, she's like, my role is hostess, but my role is also psychological tormentor. So let's go to the Morgan family field trip, you know? Right. I think we see that in the Halloween setting too, where it's like, let's maybe lean into the spooky-ookie.
Right.
Of it all.
It doesn't hit the same for me. What about you, Josh?
I agree. The most offensive part of it is the presence of Barbara. That is not somebody who ever should have been allowed to go to Bluestone Manor. Seeing her there, it's like a glitch in the universe. Like,
it's
she should not be there. And Dorinda seemingly agreed, though, so you have to respect that.
Right.
Yeah. If there's one thing Dorinda's going to do, it's she's going to be a bad hostess to the guests.
She's
going to
be a bad hostess, and Sonia's going to get drunk and ask Barbara so many questions about her sex life. Totally inappropriate.
She's like, I've heard the rumors about Barbara over the years, but wasn't it like open? Like Barbara?
Yeah, she was with a woman.
Yeah, she's like, I had a girlfriend, and everyone's like, she's really good with a hammer, if you know what I mean. It's like, no, I don't.
And they keep calling her gender. They keep calling her gender fluid.
And it's just because they're just like,
she's bisexual.
Yeah, and then Ramona's like, because she just kind of looks like she's manly.
And
she looks like a
every
construction worker.
To call her rough around the edges.
The edges.
Yeah.
That's our girls.
Yeah. Yeah. She's like a man. She's like a construction worker.
Yeah. So, we're getting into like the darker, crazier years of Berkshire's, and now we're getting to season 12, the last Roni year of Bluestone Manor. Dorinda has lost her mind like in the renovations of Bluestone, but it doesn't really look that different.
It still looks like you could accidentally set it on fire.
Definitely. Like,
it doesn't look safer.
No, it's like they put ivy on the front, so it's like it looks more like dilapidated and scary.
It's more Grey Gardens.
Yes, yeah. And then like also this is like it kind of shows I was always like team season 12 wasn't that bad, and like season 13 we just really got off track.
Right.
But then rewatching like these Berkshire's seasons, I was like, no, I see how the show was kind of losing steam and getting out of control. Like
the Berkshire's never let Leah into the Berkshire's either.
Yeah, it's she definitely, even though she was very entertaining, like the train is off the tracks. Everyone's blackout this whole time. There's a bunch of random people there. There's a chef and Red Lion Inn employees, and everyone's in a blackout. Everyone's kissing. Everyone's like Leah's butt is smacking. Mm-hmm. It's just like a little too wild.
Right. We need Bethany to come in and have like the right type of arguments with people, and then cry.
I've never rewatched this, actually, and I couldn't bring myself to do it in anticipation for this, because as sinful as Barbara being there was, I agree, Leah being there is just wrong.
Worse.
And I liked Leah on my initial watch, so it says a lot that I feel that way now, but it's just wrong. She shouldn't have been there.
She doesn't belong. Yeah. It needed to just be those core girls.
But I will say, in Leah's defense...
And Tinsley.
Leah was smart in the way that she worked Dorinda. Like, she did see that, like, Dorinda had that mom thing, and she was always like, you're like my nice mom. And Dorinda's like, now that Tinsley's gone, I love Leah. Like, Leah was... That was, like, the one way she was a very smart operator, I would say. So Berkshire's does bring out the best and worst in people.
It does. But you know how like when you're at your mom's house, this is not the season of the Bluestone Manor, of the Berkshire's. But you know, like if you're like, mom, I forgot to pack my pajamas, and she gives you like a pair to wear. Or like when Sonia forgot her pajamas and just wears like
her silk pajamas with no underwear
that were in like plastic wrap and never had been opened. And it was like the last gift from her dying husband. She shouldn't wear those.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So this brings us to like the Berkshire. Now, Bluestone Manor, Ultimate Girls Trip, Ex-Wives Club is basically like, it's like the scary movie of the Berkshires. It's like the over-the-top, like the satire version. Like the Berkshires has become fully realized as Hell House, and really they put all these wives there just for Dorinda to be in a blackout and torture them.
Yeah, well, who's going to have a nervous breakdown first? And that goes to Vicky Gunvalson.
Yeah, immediately.
The OG of the OC.
Yeah. To be fair, she also had like COVID and had just been dumped. So it was like a perfect storm.
It was
had
perfect.
Active COVID on the trip. Like, I still don't know how they got away with that, with the rules. But it's no rules. It's
it's just,
you know,
the Berkshires.
It's just the Berkshires.
Like, yeah, it's like anything goes. There's no laws there.
Yeah, it was like an entertaining clusterfuck, but also like
it was fun to see the housewives like smoking pot. It
just
was
borderline irresponsible with like the bourbon tasting party.
Well, and also like Tamara having a full like she's cry, like she starts sobbing because Dorinda's being mean to her about eating a cupcake in her room. But
yeah,
she put it there. Dorinda did. She put the cupcakes there.
Like Dorinda was
insane.
The fact that she made Tamara cry.
Right.
I mean, looking back, Jesus fucking Christ.
Oh, that. Yeah. When Vicky's crying to the other housewives in bed and saying, if I die, I want you all to remember that she died sad. And okay, how funny and sick was it for Dorinda to put Tamara and Vicky in a, not even in a bed, they were in a pull-out bed that they shared. Like, you would think that Vicky also, just number one, being sick, she would have had her own room, and also being, like, the first housewife ever of all of the franchises. Like, a little respect, but no.
And
she's
also
not being pull-out couch.
Amber dying. She was at her psychologically weakest because she had, like, been fired. Like, she wasn't at the height of her powers.
And this was the famous, I was put on pause.
Yes.
So now the delusion has reached Dorinda.
Dorinda thinks she's better than everyone because they were all fired. She was put on pause, which really gives her like the moral high ground to really be meaner to everyone, you know, to really be like the trump.
Puppeteering everyone. What are your thoughts on this ultimate girls trip, Josh?
I think it's one of the best pieces of media ever. Love it so much.
It's such a
I love it.
Dark pageant. When Jill shows up late
and tries to do the hi, and only Brandy knows what she's doing. It's like everyone is uniquely tortured. It's like a Saw movie. Everyone's
so
tortured in their own.
Yeah.
No, Jill's, that will never be as iconic as she thinks it is. And I just love that she will stop trying. But also with Jill, an under-discussed aspect of the trip for me is the like Jill and Dorinda feud that was quickly being set up for the Roni Legacy show that we never got. But I still appreciate what we got of it while we had it.
That was the best storyline for me, for sure. And it's a shame that it only lasted a couple of episodes, because I do feel like my one thing with UGT, too, is that it peters out in the last two episodes.
Yeah.
It climaxes so big with, like, all of this bad blood between Dorinda and Jill. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, Jill being the one that kind of brought Dorinda on the show. But then Dorinda being furious at Jill for allowing cameras at Bobby's funeral so much that Jill feels like she needs to lie about it and defend it still, which
still
for me, I've always
that.
Been like, well, so what? Bobby would have wanted Jill to invite the cameras.
Bobby and Bobby were such a big part of that show.
Yeah.
Huge.
He's
still one of the best house husbands ever.
But because Dorinda is so cruel about it to Jill and so like wants to throw their friendship away just because she like invited the cameras and then like is lording the fact that she was a housewife longer over
her. The cameras were not in the actual funeral. They were just
they're just outside.
Yeah. That's it. They weren't like watching. We didn't watch any of the service.
Yeah. I mean, do you think there's something deeper to it, Josh, other than Dorinda being like weird about dead husbands?
Yeah. Do you think it's just like she wants to be the ultimate widow?
Maybe, but she was never like that with Carol. They were always.
That's true.
Over it. They went to London together.
I don't know.
She just doesn't like Jill.
She didn't like anybody at that point. She wanted to take any opportunity to rage at a person on camera.
She was mad. That's
for business.
She was a woman put on pause.
Yeah.
This is such a great trip for Brandy. I know we're focusing on New York.
Yeah.
But it's so sad that she wasn't able to then capitalize on how good this was for her.
So funny. I mean, when Dorinda's raging at Brandy at that dinner at the restaurant, and then Brandy kind of just like walks away.
You should be kind and blissful. That's like my favorite Dorinda line.
my God. And then Phaedra's like, she could be your mama, you know? And she's like, you're 5 years older than me.
And then everyone's laughing. The bartender's laughing.
The bartender's laughing. He's got his COVID mask on.
I think it's one of the funniest series ever just because of like how blatant it is, well, like how horrible this place is, Dorinda.
He cast it. He said this was like his dark fantasy as like what he wanted, like everybody being tortured.
It's Andy's wish list show.
Yeah. I don't know how... what's her name ended up? Eve got on there, but it's okay.
Yeah, but she's gorgeous, and she brings like she's kind of like a voice of reason, which they needed, I think.
Yeah.
An underrated, really funny line is when Becky realizes it's an 11-day trip, and she goes, "What?
What?" She's like, "I had to spend part of this in the hospital," and talk about death.
So good. So many really funny moments.
So funny because it's like not Christmas time, but Dorinda's like, it wouldn't be the Berkshires. It wouldn't be Bluestone Manor without Christmas. And they're like, okay. And she's like, still has like the Christmas. Oh, it's just the Christmas tree. And
yeah, her master of ceremonies, like making everyone run a different part of like, you know, like, and now the workout part and just keeping everyone on schedule.
Yeah, now it's time to work out. Now it's time to taste bourbon. Now it's time for me to open everybody's lobsters.
Now go in this hot air balloon. It's so demented.
And don't you dare bring food to the rooms. Yeah.
Also, but it was like, it was so over the top that it was like already a harbinger of things to come where it's like, Bravo's still in litigation over like that series.
We'll never get that show back. Like, we'll never get Ultimate Girls Trip back. I don't think it's ever coming back.
Yeah.
I'm glad we had this. And I'm glad that we had the St. Bart's again. You know,
yeah. We're lucky.
Not season 3, though. That could have gone down in garbage with the other one.
Oh, was that Thailand?
I liked the first couple episodes, but yeah. Ultimate Girls Trip always peters out, other than season 1, which never really got started.
I barely even remember season 1. That was with like Teresa and Melissa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was good.
It was boring. It was like... Faves, Bravo's favorite girls.
Yeah, Kyle.
Yeah. All right, so let's get into... Oh, wait, sorry, Josh, what were you going
to
say?
I just have to ask if you guys have been practicing your pretending to like Kyle and how it's going, if so.
That's our New Year's resolution.
Well, no, but this season, Kyle is the villain. So actually, we kind of got out of, I feel like, liking her because right now, they don't want us to like her.
Yeah, because finally, Dorit is actually saying, you're boring in different ways.
You won't allow us to have real conversations on camera.
Yeah.
She won't even say
Morgan's name on camera anymore. It's crazy.
And the editors definitely are showing us that's stupid. You know, finally, I feel like we've got them on our side a little bit.
Do you like this new season of Beverly Hills, Josh?
I'm loving the season, but I'm not loving Kyle. So that's also going poorly for me. But I agree. I don't think this is really a season where we're supposed to be on her side.
Yeah. Right. I don't think that we're gearing up for the Kyle takedown on like a Lisa Vanderpump, you know, level. Lucy Apple Juicy.
Right.
I don't even know
even
if it'll
Brandy?
Be that. I don't know even if it'll Brandy? Even be that good of a season. But at least Dorit is bringing something. At least she's like going through the motions of let's finally have a season.
Have a season. My husband's he's not here. He's an alcoholic. He's a really big alcoholic.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I don't want to get my hopes up. What do you think, Josh? Do you think it'll be...
I always like Beverly Hills more than everybody else does. So I think I will love it, but I don't know if everybody...
See, I haven't liked it in years, and I really liked the first episode. And I told Lauren that it was really good, and I texted you, Lauren, and then you didn't respond. So I was worried, and then you told me you didn't...
I didn't like episode 2. I thought it was very boring.
I haven't seen episode 2 yet.
Open mind. I'm keeping an open mind.
I guess Dorit has to smoke a cigarette every episode, though.
That should be in the contract.
It really should.
It really should.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get to the parts where we do a mention it all quiz. Now, this is testing your Bluestone Manor knowledge. Who said this at Bluestone Manor? And you will get bonus points if you know the season or the context in which it was said. Okay. Number one. If I'm a loser, the rest of the world sucks.
I don't even remember.
Luann, season 10, in response to Carol saying what Bethany said.
That is correct.
Oh my God.
3 points for Josh, proving his name.
Carol, I'll get. If it doesn't involve Carol, I'll be clueless.
All right. So number two, she won't let me help so she can eat nothing.
She won't let me help so she can eat nothing. It's was that to Brenda?
Heather, no. Season 7.
Heather, season 7 Heather. Is correct. 6 points.
God, you're so good.
All right. Number three, I always have mispronunciations, .. Look at the foliage.
Josh, you're going to have to do this. I cannot remember these.
It's going to be Ramona, I imagine, but I don't know the season.
I actually, I didn't write them down. I believe it's season 9, but I'm still going to give you, because I didn't write it down, I'm going to give you the full 3 points.
Yeah.
9 points for Josh.
This is just yours for the taking, Josh.
You're just owning. Way. Okay. All right. Number four. I'm like the Kim Cattrall of the family.
Is that Luann?
Yes. Yes.
Season 8?
Yep.
Responding to Bethany because she's like a whore who fucks everybody.
Yes.
And stole Tom from another woman who was there and said, when you're done with her, it's my turn next, and took his hand and walked out.
All right. And we'll give you an extra point for showing off. 4 points for Michelle.
It's one of my favorite things ever.
It's really
actually
good.
Okay. Can I tell you my favorite part of that episode, actually, is when Luann, it's after she's just been like torn apart kind of by Bethany. And mm-hmm. she goes outside for a cigarette. I love a smoking housewife. And Jules is out
well,
there.
Well, wait, don't. We're going to actually do a dinner piece theater.
Okay.
Masterpiece theater reenactment.
Cut that. Jason, cut that.
Okay.
Cut the part where I, yeah, just up to the part where I like really fucking got that answer right. Okay.
Number 6. I'm so happy to be the only one with my period.
Is that Leah?
Correct.
Season 13? 12, yeah.
Number 7, you're not a girl's girl.
That was
this is
Ramona.
A trick.
No, it wasn't Ramona. It was Ramona to Bethany, Josh. Was it the ghost of Kyle Richards?
It was actually Bethany who said it the season before Ramona accused her of not supporting other women. Mm. She accused Luann of not being a girl's girl.
Because she steals people's
Because she
boyfriends.
Steals people's boyfriends.
And it happened before Lou.
Yep.
It doesn't matter.
I'm going to skip number 8. Number 8. Why are you such a vicious bitch? I said I was sorry.
All of them? All of the above?
Is that something in the Carol and Bethany fight in season 10, but I don't know who said who?
Mm-mm.
Vicious bitch. Who would say that? It wouldn't be Sonia. Would it be Luann? No, would it be Dorinda?
It's a hard one.
Is it, Tamara to
Tinsley?
Dorinda?
Is it Tinsley? Mm-mm.
It is Ramona to Bethany, and the mention it all fight the beginning of it. All right, number 9, put the dog down, Sonia. This is another trick question.
Was it Dorinda telling her to put the dog down? Mind her manners?
Mm-mm. It was both Ramona and Bethany because she won't put the dog down. Okay, bonus round. Who actually cooked, cleaned, decorated, and made it nice?
Dorinda's housekeeper.
Whose name is?
Consuela.
Lynn.
Cut that, Jason.
Okay.
That was almost as bad as when Kathy Hilton was on Watch What Happens
Live. And
said
the lady.
She said that he was showing her pictures of celebrities.
Oh, yeah.
He showed Lizzo and she's like, is that Precious?
Precious, yeah. And she's like, it's because she's precious to me.
Because she's precious to me.
Okay, so now I thought we would do a little awards section where we, I have some nominees for each Berkshire's Awards category, and we can decide amongst ourselves who we want to give the ultimate prize to. This is the first annual Berkshire's Award. Okay, so first the I Made It Nice nominees for Best Line Delivery are,
now Dorinda will come around and deflower your salad for you.
Colm Cowie, the chef, season 12. You fuck everyone! Bethany Frankel, season 8.
He's an operator. He's a little boy from the Midwest. That's who he is. He lived with my niece for 6 months on our couch.
Luann, season 10. Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me, Bethany? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Are you? Ramona, season 9.
Don't touch the Morgan letters.
Mm. And then mention it all. Bethany lays on couch, spread eagles.
God.
I know. It's tough. Some all-timers.
Okay.
There.
So for me, This is painful. I'm going to have to do mention it all. It's just so iconic. And you can if I hear the word mention ever, I always think of Bethany spread eagle.
Yeah.
I can't help myself.
That's fair. That is very impactful. But I would say Ramona for me personally.
It's very like the whole time you were. The whole time you were.
Oh, Mrs. Stalker. The whole time.
Oh, this is so hard because I'm the tiebreaker, but I do think we use mention it all more because it's the same way we use and now we said it more. It's just very applicable in a lot of different situations. I do have to give it to Ramona.
You're giving it to Ramona, not to Bethany?
Ramona.
Ugh. All right.
All right. So biggest waste of manner, number one. First nominee, Murder Mystery Dinner Party. Number two, everyone's ugly wigs at Murder Mystery Dinner Party. Number three, Carol and Bethany's awkward fight after Murder Mystery Dinner Party. And number four, Barbara, season 11.
Barbara.
Actually, it's so funny that when you said this earlier in the episode, I was like, this is going to come full circle.
Barbara and her hammer.
Yeah. Sorry, Barbara. All right. Best fight. This is a really hard one. So, okay, the best fight, either Luann versus Bethany, season 9, Dorinda versus Luann / everyone, I made it nice, Sonia versus everyone versus Luann, Sonia wants more than $200 for the cabaret show, Ramona versus Bethany, mentioned it all, or Elise versus Ramona and her 50 best friends. I mean, obviously not the last one, but...
Clearly for me, it's... I made it nice. It is the most iconic thing ever said in that home.
Yeah.
I can't argue with that.
I made it nice. The fact that she's also holding the Grey Goose bottle and she's like, this is a waving disgrace. I'm ashamed.
The only reason I was like, maybe like one of the Bethany fights edges it out is because it is Dorinda like kind of just monologuing and like just not really being mad at anyone at in particular, just being insane. It's more of a monologue than a fight, but it is just so iconic, so Berkshire's. It's just got to get the top spot. Okay, best vandalism, intentional category. Number one, Ramona pulling out the sconce in her room because she didn't like the lighting. Number two, Sonia stealing Dorinda's silk pajamas and wearing them with no panties. Number three, Luann pulling the shark off the wall of the fish room and throwing it in the hallway. Or number four, Dorinda sticking her face in her fake birthday cake like Mrs. Doubtfire.
Okay, but her birthday cake, but what's the most important part is that the candles are lit.
And while the candles are lit, right?
Oh my God, it's so hard, but I do think there's something about Sonia. Like those silk pajamas from Dorinda's dead husband. Yeah, it's my favorite. Sonia is like, I don't know what's the problem. What's the big deal?
Yeah, she maintains throughout. That's normal.
I needed something to wear.
But also Ramona ripping out the sconce is so funny to me. I didn't like the light fixture.
That was crazy. That's really fun. Well, because Dorinda was like, it costs this much money to fix. And it was like a crazy number.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's funny.
Josh, you're the tiebreaker.
Wow. Okay. These are all so good. I think that we do need to give credit to Dorinda for risking her life with those candles and her face. That was really bold of her.
And then they were like, I can't believe you did that. All those candles were lit. She's like, I didn't even think about it. I was just trying to make everybody laugh. She's such a great host.
Sweet when she wants to be.
Yeah.
To break the tie, I will go with the pajamas.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, she deserves it. Sonia does great work in the Berkshires, but like her work isn't as, I feel like, standout, but she carried the last two seasons of the Berkshires, you know? So she does deserve, I feel like, some kind of recognition.
Yeah, I'm sure when Dorinda saw Sonia in those pajamas, she was like, wow, I should have been inviting her this whole time. Can't believe I ever excluded her. Was that the same season where Sonia fell asleep sitting upright? She fell asleep just upright? In a chair. I don't remember what season.
Oh, I don't think so. I think that was 11.
Maybe that was season 8. No, I think it was like season 8 or 9. Maybe.
Oh, 9. It's, when she was drunk with Ramona.
Yeah.
Okay. So now best vandalism accidental category. Number one, Ramona spilling meat juice on the velvet chairs in the dining room and refusing to clean it up. Number two, Ramona clogging a toilet and two other housewives help her fix it without gloves. Number three, Sonia humping Dorinda's inflatable ghost decoration to deflation. Number four, Tamara and Vicky eating the cupcake that Dorinda left in their room. Ooh. Ultimate girl strip.
I'm going to choose Ramona spilling meat juice because that's, I think, the scene where it's clearly she's taken some pills because she's being really over the top with a lot of things. She's like... Mm. Brenda, this chicken is so succulent. She's going completely insane and like spilling juice on these chairs. It's just so moist. I don't usually like the white meat, but it's just so succulent. Brenda, it's so good.
Yeah, that's my vote too.
With that. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, this one's tough. Best Luann statement necklace of the Berkshires. Number one, large turquoise necklace, December, Berkshires County. Number two, slightly smaller turquoise necklace worn with large turquoise necklace, December, Berkshires County. Number three, old-timey choker for Dorinda's birthday, where she dressed like a Westwood robot hooker. And number four, the three ugly costume jewelry necklaces, all 3 feet long and looped for the murder mystery party. Mm.
I like the choker. It's so choker. Iconic to me, that outfit.
It's a standout.
Yeah.
I would vote for the large turquoise necklace.
That's the other one. Okay. Yeah. I'm turquoise. Yeah.
Because that's so classic Luann.
It's so Luann. Yeah. The Native American, you know, nod to her heritage. Yeah.
Connecticut Native American.
Yes. Okay. So this is a special honorary achievement award, which I personally would like to give mine, and you guys are welcome to give yours as well. But mine would go to someone kind of unconventional who you wouldn't associate as much with the Berkshires, but who I believe did her best work there. And that's my annual Make It Nice Lifetime Achievement Award for overall Berkshire's excellence goes to Bethany. I think she has always kind of clocked what the Berkshires was, what its TV potential was, and always found a way to escalate things and give us the most high octane fights. And I really think that she was the one who saw the potential in the Berkshires and utilized it.
Yeah, I agree. Mine would be, though, probably Tinsley. Even though we don't think about a lot of like iconic moments with Tinsley, she's just there and she's so funny. Like, I feel like when things are getting really heavy and there's things getting escalated and fights, and there's something about Tinsley's level of drunkenness, which is always very high, but always very funny. There's like one season of the Berkshires with Tinsley and she's been on antibiotics all week and she's still on antibiotics while she's there. And she is trying to debate what to drink, if she's just going to go ahead and have the vodka, or because she's on antibiotics, if she'll just have red wine. But she has both and she gets very, very intoxicated.
She's like the, you know, like if it was a play, she's like the quiet, you know, like drunk uncle who has like the occasional like really... LOL.
But I love having her there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What about you, Josh? Do you have an honorary Lifetime Achievement Berkshires Award to
give? Don't want to be boring and agree with yours, but I'm going to say Bethany also.
It's undeniable.
It is. It really is Bethany. Just don't want to say Bethany.
But also,
and
like,
I did like Tinsley talking about mixing her pills with alcohol.
Yeah, because something I didn't point out in my giving my award was also Bethany was able to give us that lightness as well. She gave, like we talked about, she's always giggling with Carol. So many scenes of her, like they're, you know, in a settee and laughing, you know.
Waking up in the same room with Luann and Luann's like, water. Water. Yeah.
She's the one who got all the iPhone footage that night that they went out. Like, she was just such a power player.
She really, for so many years, was the reason in a lot
of
ways
season.
Why the show was so, for the season. She was the reason that was so good.
Yeah. R.I.P. Bethany being someone we like.
I hope that she's enjoying that chicken salad wherever she is.
Mm-hmm. All right, so this is our final segment, and it's called Menor Piece Theater. So I have transcribed two iconic Berkshire scenes, and I am going to have us read them. So before we start, the two scenes are the Jules and Luann on the porch talking, and the other scene is I Made It Nice. So do we have any volunteers for Jules, Luann, and Dorinda, respectively?
I'm Jules. You have a deeper voice than me, Lauren.
Josh, do you have a preference on?
You're on mute, Josh.
Sorry, who are the options?
Jules, Luann, and Dorinda.
I would love to be Dorinda because I have not rewatched this scene in a moment and I feel like she has the lightest role.
Okay.
Right.
All right. And then, well, it does go into, we cut a few scenes and then we go into the Make It Nice. So you will be performing the Make It Nice monologue, just heads up. Okay. All right. And I shall be Luann. All right. And then, Josh, do you also want to be stage directions?
Sure. I would love okay. to be.
Okay. Great. All right. December, Berkshire's County. Exterior, porch.
Jules sits on Bluestone Manor porch with phone on speaker. Luann approaches, followed by a cameraman.
Jules?
Hi, I'm just calling my dad. The doctor's coming in 7 minutes.
Can I hang with you? I don't know what to do. I can't stay here.
That's just all... That's
still... Luann sits besides Jules.
That's just awful, what she just did to me.
Jules plugs her headphones into her phone, starting to put them in her ears.
I feel so bad I can't even concentrate because my dad sounds like he's not even coherent.
Luann lights a cigarette.
It's so hurtful, what she just said to me.
I have to tell you something. There's bigger things in life, so who cares? Don't cry. Don't even worry about it.
I can't stay here.
Yes, you can. You make it better, at least.
It's not going to make anything better. That was so ugly.
She passes the cig to Jules, who takes a drag.
Honestly, there's more problems in life. Like, my dad is dying.
She turns up the volume on her phone.
And I'm not even there. And he has pneumonia, and he doesn't sound right. And it's like so...
It's awful. What she just did to me, she attacks you. I mean, what did I do to her? Nothing. Nothing.
That's Jules' confessional.
All right, Luann. Sick dad. You're a slut. All right, I'll talk to you about being a whore.
Back to porch.
This is Dorinda's house. It's all about Dorinda.
I know it's all about Dorinda. And Dorinda didn't come to my defense. She just stood there.
Dorinda steps onto the porch.
Well, thank you for defending me, hostess with the most test.
Are you kidding me?
She couldn't defend you!
I can't stay in your house with these people. They're horrible.
We were supposed to have a nice lunch and all arrive at my home. Luann suddenly has a glass of wine, takes a swig.
Forget about your nice lunch.
Be the positive part of it.
Guess what? Did you hear what she just said to me?
She called her a slut. I said, that's a compliment.
You know, Tom. Okay, Ramona said she's been dating Tom for a while now. That's not true. That's a lie. Ramona said that, you know, she should have called me. You're dating Tom. And of course, Bethany knows. She knows everything. So apparently, Bethany's been following my romantic life.
So what's Ramona got to do with Tom?
And she says, I know everything you're doing. You're fucking everybody in this.
And you stuck up for Sonia.
And you just stood there.
I didn't hear her say that, Luann. I wasn't there.
Neither did I!
You need to go in as a hostess and say, you know what, back it up, or get the fuck, because I'm here, I'm your guest, and I'm not staying.
No, she can't say that. It is not my job in my home to defend her. Certainly don't need to be the host, the cook, the decorator, and act as a defender. You know, these are big girls. Back to porch.
You need to tell her to back up. Need you... Back it up.
You. I need to tell them to all stop arguing.
Yeah, all rumbling up.
You need to back it up or I'm leaving.
Luann in kitchen, Ramona cackling.
What? So now I want to stay here for Dorinda's non-party? Look, the cake is over there. It says, happy birthday, Dorinda.
Dorinda suddenly...
Dorinda suddenly appears in the kitchen behind Luann.
My mother bought this weekend.
Don't yell!
My mother bought this weekend.
I don't need another person yelling at me.
You can talk about me. You can talk about my house. You can talk about my decorations. But do not mess with... I don't know how to say that lady's last name. Birthday cake. When it comes to my mother, don't go there. Don't say my non-birthday birthday. It's not my birthday.
I thought I was...
My mother bought this on Saturday.
I thought I was coming for your birthday.
I think everyone's acting very poorly. I put in a big effort here.
I agree.
And this is my home.
I agree.
And I made a conscious choice not to invite Sonia so we could all have a good time.
I agree. So get your...
And I think it's a disgrace of you people.
Carol enters, trying to hold Dorinda's wildly flailing hands. Okay.
You know what? You go to a place.
We're sorry!
No. You hold things to yourself. I cooked all day. I decorated. I did it nice. I'm ashamed.
Luann pouts cuntily.
If no one can behave themselves, then you'll all go home. I give you permission. Because I decorated, I cooked, I made it nice, so go home, everybody, go home. You want to talk about my mother's birthday cake? That's sacred to me.
Well, I was called a slut in your dining room.
Well, I didn't know that. I want this to be...
The rest of the cast physically tears them away from each other as if scared they will come to blows.
Who cares if you're a slut or not? Give it up already!
End scene.
End scene.
Wow. When you really look at the dialogue, I'm like, this is a play. Like, this should be...
When I'm reading that, I could just hear, like, Christmas classics in my head, like Silent Night, Come All Ye Faithful.
Like, why is Christmas Carol still being performed instead of December Berkshire's County? Like, why can't people get with the times? It's like, seriously, it's frustrating to me. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for performing.
Oh, Josh
that.
Is having like a physical reaction.
I know.
I didn't know I was acting, but I love it. I just seeing Dorinda's lines written out in text. It's so
powerful.
Funny how like not coherent they are, and this is like, one of her more coherent scenes, I feel like.
Yeah. Do you think that's why it's such a famous scene? It's because Dorinda sort of makes sense. Like, you know, I'm thinking of like when she gives that toast at Tom and Luann's engagement party.
But she also is like fully wrong when they're like, it's your birthday. And she's like, no, it's not. Like, yeah.
Her non-birthday.
Yeah. It's like people are genuinely confused about it. And she obfuscates that and just creates a big scene. And everyone's like, okay, forget about it. Like, she's such a delightful bully.
She is. I miss her.
She was so good. Mm-hmm. When she was good, she was so good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when she was bad, she was
pretty bad.
A blackout.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. Too many martinis.
All right. Well, we've reached the end of the hour. Josh, before we do oral exams, do you want to share anything on your Bravo Christmas wish list for 2025?
Wow. I think that a lot of it has come true that has been on my list in the last few years. I would like for my favorites to stop making it difficult for me to defend them online because... This year, I had Heather Dubrow really test the limits of how nice I could be to her. And I still always defended her. I will never go against her, hopefully. Hopefully she doesn't give me a reason to. But the people in my comments were not happy with me at how much I was defending that lady. But I'm still ride or die for her. But I would like... A lot of my favorites also left their shows this year, like Candace and Kenya. Mm-hmm. And then the ones who are still there are like Heather and Meredith, who's also not... always the easiest to defend. So I would love if they would make it easier for me to do what I like to do.
What do you think of the rumors that Meredith is friend of next season in Salt Lake? Do you think she'll finally be pressured
rumors
to bring
nastiness.
It? Bring it in the way you believe she's always had the potential to?
I hope so. I just don't see why she would be the person who would be demoted when Heather Gay is sitting right there.
I agree. I think Heather Gay, I don't really even see a place for her anymore, to be honest, on the show. Like Bronwyn, it's very Bethany and Heather to me. It's again, we've got a superior version of the role that a Heather plays. And so let's get that Heather out of here.
Right.
I think they want to still have the narrative that like she's kind of like the narrator. And like in the last episode, they have her like talking about the Mormon things in her confessional. But that's not enough of a reason for somebody to have
a full-time spot. We're not even talking about Mormons anymore. You know, we've moved on.
And Bronwyn is like, even though she, you know, is over the top with her clothes and stuff, she really is a down-to-earth, I feel like, person who's better at like instigating than she is at like being a personality. Like she really is kind of a perfect like, you know, narrator, relatable
housewife.
One.
Yeah. Falling apart marriage. She has real wealth. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She's incredible. Yeah. I love her, and I hope she's with us for years to come.
Me too.
I think she will be. Yeah. I think she will be. She's here to stay.
I don't know. She's anticipating that she's going to have a horrible sophomore season. She thinks it's going to be Leah McSweeney bad for her.
It's good to prepare for that, but I don't think so. But yeah, it's better to go in with that mindset than not.
Yeah, that's true. Because that way it's like that the mistake in your sophomore season is just thinking everyone loves me no matter what I do. So I'll just swing for the fences, you know, like we're seeing from Heather right now. Yeah. Okay, well, it's the end of the podcast, and so now it's time for our oral exams, which is a 1-minute essay on any pop culture topic of your choice. So, Michelle, would you like to start?
Big time.
All right. This is to say it slowly so I could pick up my phone with my feet. All right. This is Michelle Baber's oral exam. Her time starts now.
In this essay, I will prove that this is the year of the Nepo baby. 2025 is going to be the year of the Nepo baby if we are going to follow my favorite Nepo baby, and that's Apple Martin. She just made in Paris at a debutante ball called, I'm going to butcher the name of it, Les Balles des Debutantes. And she was a bully, and she was mean, and stealing other girls' spotlights. And not only that, her whole fucking family showed up. Chris Martin was there. Gwyneth Paltrow was there. Her brother Moses was there. And Blythe Danner was there, bitch. So all of these other debutantes need to get out of the way. It is Apple's turn to shine. She is 20 years old. She has become a woman in France. And she is here to stay. She looks 10 seconds. Just like her mom. And I think she's just as mean as her mom in the best way. And she's a vegetarian in 10.
Wow. That's great. That's very exciting. The most I'd seen of Apple before this is when she's in the Goop documentary and she's watching her mom do a fast and her mom's like, oh, that quinoa looks so good. And she's like, mom, just have some.
Don't tease me with that quinoa, sweetie.
Yeah. And she's like, also, I could make us like a gluten-free, cheese-free pizza. And Gwyneth's like, no, I can't. I'm on the fast.
I couldn't possibly. No, not the nightshades, Apple.
So I don't think I have enough on this to make it my full oral exam, but I have been looking at the outfits from Le Gusele. They are not good. They're like, honestly, like the Dallas Fiesta de las Seis Banderas, that would like own it every time. Like those are like just such like beautiful, ornate, over the top quinceanera, almost inspired dresses. And these are all like, I feel like 2014 prom gowns that these girls are wearing. Like I was not impressed. They're all neutral tones.
Ugh. Well, Apple's dress is the blue one with a like black bow, but I think she had it cut, like it's custom. I'm pretty sure it's custom.
I think these are all custom. I'm just like, it's like Gen Alpha / Gen Z, like very boring clothes. Cause these ball gowns are like, So bleh to me mostly.
Also, what is a debutante ball? Why did they have one in Paris? Why have I never heard of this ball?
Same. I guess like maybe as people are more interested.
And why do you do it at 20? I don't know what age.
Yeah,
I don't know why she's doing it at 20.
Yeah.
I don't know much about it, but I want to know. I need to know all of the deets on Apple being a bully.
Yeah, she should have a reality show, I think. All right. Okay, I'll do mine. This is Lauren Davis's oral exam. My time starts now. Okay, so I've been watching a lot of Survivor recently. I've been very into competitive reality shows. And what really frustrates me, and this also extends to like non-competitive reality shows, when people are like, man, you think it's easy when you're like watching on your TV screen. You're like, this is so obvious. I'd kill this. But actually, it's really hard. I've never once thought that while watching a reality show in my life. I've never once been watching Housewives and be like, I would absolutely crush this fight. I would be so good in it. I'm like, no, I would be terrified. I would be pissing my pants. Like I would be, you know, probably drinking really heavily and they would tear me apart, you know, like it would be horrible. And same with competitive reality shows. Like who thinks that they're fit enough to like, you know, kick ass at Survivor or Big Brother? Like, no, whenever someone's like really bad at the show, they're the ones who I'm like, oh, okay. Relatable. Like I see myself in the first person eliminated. I see myself, I would be a Barbara. I would be an Elise. I would suck ass. And it's just so strange to me that other people don't think this. This seems like this should be what everyone thinks.
I don't know. Do people think that?
Yes.
Well,
it's just bizarre.
Well, number one, who wants to be on Survivor? I don't want to be on that show.
I might apply for the next season.
You should. You would. Wow. You would do.
No, I don't think I would, but I think that'd be funny. And that's kind of why I want to do it.
You are really the type that they like. You're like really smart. You're very strategic,
and you're
very analytical.
Savvy.
Yeah. Young. Like I could actually see you making a good run.
You probably won't sue the network.
No, I would never.
You'll pay your taxes if you win.
Mm-hmm. I think I would get a villain edit, but that's okay. I would be okay with that.
I don't think you would. Unless like you, it kind of depends on what you give them. I feel like if you would have to lean into villain to get villain edits, but it's like, it's up to you. You want to give them something so that, you know, you get more airtime. So I think you would be a good villain if you were like,
Yeah, I agree. Well, are you watching the current season? Sorry.
I love the current. Although post-merge, it's petered out for me a little bit.
I've never seen a single episode.
Wow. I don't disagree, but I'm obsessed with Genevieve.
I love Genevieve.
Much.
Because she's like,
she's all choked up.
She's who I thought of. That's why I'm choking. I'm like that. I'm like, oh my gosh, Josh would be like Genevieve, but I wasn't sure if you're watching. But Genevieve is not even really getting a villain edit. I think because like probably they want to bring her back. So it's very like, she's very like, I'm a been playing like a villain, but I have the heart of a hero. And it's like, that is very much bringing, she's going to be back for 50.
I hope so. I love her. I recently I was meeting with a friend who I haven't seen in a long time, and she loves Survivor. And she was like, let me guess, you love Genevieve? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, oh my God, I hate her, but I knew you would like her.
I don't get why people hate her.
I don't either.
I loved everyone this season. I even loved Rome. Like, he was giving TV.
That's bold. I don't like Andy, but I know that's not the most popular opinion.
No, most people don't like Andy. My stepson doesn't like Andy either. I'm like, again, I love Andy because he's so bad at the challenges. And I'm like, that would be me. Like, Daniel Strunk, I relate to the most of any player ever because he's like lost the idol, lost his shoes, can't find anything. I'm like, that would be me on the island. I would be like, where is my clothes? And it's like, that's all you have. Like, how did you lose your clothes?
I think that show's still on. It's been on for like 30 years.
Honestly, I think they're doing good. I like the new era.
Who is the host? Is it still that Jeff guy?
Yeah.
Didn't he leave the show and then he came back?
He was going to, unless they made him EP. And it's controversial because he has more creative control now and people don't like the new, you know, era as much. But I like, it feels like a kind of like a very cutthroat nonprofit in Manhattan. Like, it reminds me of when I used to work at, like, you know, Jared Kushner's like startup, like where it's like, oh, it's all these young people. Well, I was like a temp there, but it's like cutthroat and everyone, you know, trying to get to the top. And yeah, it's like, I love it. I don't know. What do you think of New Era?
I think that Jeff does the show a disservice with the things he says in interviews because he'll be like, there's no more villains, but then there are.
There are things
that get people fired up, but I think it's good.
The real villain is talking about CBS reality TV shows.
Fair.
That's valid.
That's Paramount. Yeah.
Sometimes you make me hear about Big Brother and Julie, what's her name?
Julie Chen Moonves.
She's so kind. I used to think like, oh, whatever. And now I'm like, God, she's a great host.
I can't believe that she's still on CBS.
And ageless. And yeah, and still an incredible host. No one complains about her. A loving, supportive wife. And complicit in Les Moonves' crimes. But still, she's kind. All right, Josh, are you ready?
Yes, I am.
Okay, this is Josh Theroni Stan's oral exam. His time starts now.
In this essay, I will prove that Joey Grazide was a fully valid winner of Dancing with the Stars and people need to stop being mean to him online. I don't really understand why there is so much animosity. Well, I do. People are mad about the election and then Chandler coming in third had some kind of resonance with that, which is valid and I understand people's reactions to that. But Joey was like kind of clearly the front runner to win from the first episode, in my opinion. So I was surprised that there was this like online revolt against him. I also think that Jenna is one of the best pros on the show, so I was very happy for her that she got to win. And in general, I didn't think the results were that surprising. And I think a lot of the people who thought they were surprising have not watched the show before. And that's all I got. I'm early.
Wow, I love it. Yeah, brevity is the soul of wit. Always, yeah, like, I don't follow the show, but I always thought Joey was the front runner just from, like, The Bachelor sub, like, how much attention, like, he was getting, his girlfriend was getting, how much airtime they were getting. Wait, who's Chandler Bing? Who was the Chandler?
Chandler Kinney.
Mrs. Chenandler Bong.
She was a Disney person, and she was great. She was amazing, but she did come in with, like, some kind of dance experience, which people weren't really happy with. And also, there was some, like, racist undertones of the things people were saying about her. But that's, like, America. We knew America was voting, so I wasn't surprised.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really
fool me
watch
once,
this
shame
I don't,
on you.
Yeah, I don't really follow that show, but I do follow Julianne Hough on social media because it is a wild ride for my mental health. And I love her so much. She doesn't eat gluten. She has like, she makes her own wine with Nina. What's her name? She was on like Vampire Diaries. Yeah, they're best friends. They have an organic wine brand. And she did that crazy video like a while ago where she had like inner healing and she had like, it looked like she was like convulsing and having an exorcism. She has an exercise company called Kinergy where you're like tapping into your like own, like your body's energy. She has a novel, a fictional novel called Everything We Never Knew.
Is it YA?
Yeah.
I figured.
I think she is fascinating.
This is okay. This is my wish list for 2025. More celebrities with reality shows. Like, they need to really realize, like, it needs to stop being stigmatized for your career at all.
Right.
And we need to have the Paltrow reality show. We need to have the Huff reality show.
Her and her brother could be on a reality show.
I would love that.
Where they're not dancing, but we just see their eating habits.
I hope the Baldwins break down the barriers between stars and
reality shows. We
need
all of the Baldwins. We need the band of Baldwins, okay? Because we're going to have... Wait, Josh, do you know about Ilaria Baldwin?
I do. The Baldwins are from my hometown on Long Island. My high school auditorium is called the Baldwin Auditorium because they're like the legends of the town.
Oh my God. Wait,
Daniel's a legend in your town.
I don't know about him, but...
Well, on this show, we've started power ranking the Baldwins.
Yeah, before we leave, power rank your Baldwins.
You're at Baldwin Brothers.
Highest to lowest.
Do you want me to go first? Okay, so this week, my number one... Okay, so... Yeah, my number one this week will probably... I'm going to say it's still going to be Daniel for me. It's still going to be Daniel. He doesn't seem like he's doing much, but, you know, he needs to be the top for something.
He's an under-the-radar threat, like Rachel in Survivor.
And he's number two is going to be Billy. Number three... I mean, honestly, there's not a number three and tied for last. Okay, no, I'll give number three to Alec because I'm obsessed with his wife and I can't wait for the reality show. And he said that he was an asshole on the show and hated it and doesn't even remember, like, he was like blacked out when he was making it. So I am excited for that. And number four is going to be Steven because of his political and religious views.
Josh.
Lauren, do you want to power rank the Baldwins?
I've actually moved, just because of my Christmas wish, I'm moving Alec up to number one in my rankings this week. To really kind of, you know, elevate him and push other celebrities towards that TLC place.
The type of place that we want to see them. Yeah, we want to see Alec turn into like a Mama June type figure.
And really, I would love that.
And I'm hoping the reality show does that for him.
I don't know if I'm personally qualified to rank them. I will say that it's funny that Steven is like the most irrelevant one because he's the one that I'm most familiar with because of his run on competition reality shows in like 2007. I don't even remember what he was on. I feel like he was on Celebrity Apprentice and maybe something else. And that, of course, is my only knowledge of anybody in pop culture. So
And he has a famous daughter, famous son-in-law, the Beepers. Yeah. And they sent him checks every month.
I wish we had that
because
Steven
Hollywood
back.
Isn't. Yeah.
I wish we had that Steven back draft.
Funny Steven.
Get it.
I know nothing about what he has been doing since about 2008. So... probably
same
would rank him lower if I was aware of that.
Yeah, I'm guessing like he's just been in church the whole time. I think he's just been in a church for the past like 20 years.
He's been in a church waiting for that phone to ring. Well, that was our power ranking of the Baldwins this week. Thank you for your help with that, Josh.
Yes.
And that I can't believe that they went to your high school and there's a Baldwin auditorium, those hallowed grounds.
Yeah.
Exciting.
We'll have to, go there on our Berkshire's tour. We'll make a stop.
We'll do
on
a
the
tour.
Way.
Like, we're going to go do a tour of the East Coast and hit all of the number one monuments and places. And so it's going to be like the Baldwin Auditorium in that high school and Bluestone Manor.
Red Lion Inn.
Red Lion Inn.
And that spot in the woods where Ramona had her fake panic attack because she knew Mario was cheating on her.
Her child trauma. Yeah. I think that's everything you can see on the East Coast. I can't think of anything else like monument wise I'd want to see.
So, we'll see you then. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you, Josh, so much for being there. Thank you, students. Follow us on Instagram at Bravo_breakdown. Same on TikTok. Follow Josh at Josh the Roni Stan on TikTok. Anything else coming up you want to promote, Josh?
No, just TikTok. Instagram is also Josh the Roni Stan. Lots of exciting things to come that I can't speak about. And I say that they're not real. I just don't feel like saying things. Also, I feel the need to give a PSA. I'm not always as pink as I appear here. I have a really unfortunate habit of self-tanning right before I do these. So just feel the need to put that out there.
It's a rosy Berkshire's glow.
Yeah, you have that Christmas glow.
And I feel the need to have a PSA. I have rosacea and I'm usually actually way more red during the podcast than I am.
And
here.
I have a PSA. I started my period today and I have the biggest sip. That's it. That's what that is.
We're all doing our best.
It looks like a Christmas ornament.
Well, now you guys are all informed. And as always, and YouTube viewers, you guys got to see firsthand what we're talking about. And as always, at the end of our YouTubes, we show our boobs. The end.
The end.